Open your Bibles, please, for our second reading, the lengthy chapter Ezekiel, chapter 16. Verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, When thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee, and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then washed I thee with water, yea, I throughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger's skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain upon thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. But thou didst trust in thine own beauty, and playest the harlot because of thy renown, and pourest out thy fornications on every one that passed by, his it was. And of thy garments thou didst take, and deckst thy high places with divers colors, and playest the harlot thereupon. The like things shall not come, neither shall it be so. Thou hast also taken thy fair jewels of my gold and of my silver, which I had given thee, and madest to thyself images of men, and didst commit whoredom with them, and tookest my broidered garments, and coveredst them. And thou hast set mine oil and mine incense before them. My meat also, which I gave thee, fine flour and oil and honey, wherewith I fed thee, thou hast even set it before them for a sweet savor. And thus it was, saith the Lord God. Moreover, thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters, whom thou hast borne unto me, and these hast thou sacrificed unto them to be devoured. Is this of thy whoredoms a small matter, that thou hast slain my children and delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire for them? And in all thine abominations and thy whoredoms, thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, when thou wast naked and bare and wast polluted in thy blood. And it came to pass, after all thy wickedness, woe, woe unto thee, saith the Lord God, that thou hast also built unto thee an eminent place, and hast made thee an high place in every street. Thou hast built thy high place at every head of the way, and hast made thy beauty to be abhorred, and hast opened thy feet to everyone that passed by, and multiplied thy whoredoms. Thou hast also committed fornication with the Egyptians, thy neighbors, great of flesh, and hast increased thy whoredoms to provoke me to anger. Behold, therefore, I have stretched out my hand over thee, and have diminished thine ordinary food, and delivered thee unto the will of them that hate thee, the daughters of the Philistines, which are ashamed of thy lewd way. Thou hast played the whore also with the Assyrians, because thou wast unsatiable. Yea, thou hast played the harlot with them, and yet couldst not be satisfied. Thou hast moreover multiplied thy fornication in the land of Canaan unto Chaldea, and yet thou wast not satisfied herewith. How weak is thine heart, saith the Lord God, seeing thou doest all these things, the work of an imperious, whorish woman. In that thou biddest thine eminent place, buildest thine eminent place in the head of every way, and makest thine high place in every street, and hast not been as an harlot in that thou scornest hire, but as a wife that committeth adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband, they give gifts to all whores. But thou givest thy gifts to all thy lovers, and hirest them, that they may come unto thee on every side for thy whoredom. And the contrary is in thee from other women in thy whoredoms, whereas none followeth thee to commit whoredoms. And in that thou givest a reward, and no reward is given unto thee. Therefore thou art contrary. Wherefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because thy filthiness was poured out, and thy nakedness discovered through thy whoredoms with thy lovers, and with all the idols of thy abominations, and by the blood of thy children, which thou didst give unto them, behold, therefore I will gather all thy lovers with whom thou hast taken pleasure, and all them that thou hast loved with all them that thou hast hated. I will even gather them round about against thee, and will discover thy nakedness unto them, that they may see all thy nakedness, and I will judge thee, as women that break wedlock and shed blood are judged. And I will give thee blood in fury and in jealousy. And I will also give thee into their hand, and they shall throw down thine eminent place, and shall break down thy high places. They shall strip thee also of thy clothes, and shall take thy fair jewels, and leave thee naked and bare. They shall also bring up a company against thee, and they shall stone thee with stones, and thrust thee through with their swords. And they shall burn thine houses with fire, and execute judgments upon thee in the sight of many women, and I will cause thee to cease from playing the harlot. And thou also shalt give no hire any more. So will I make my fury toward thee to rest, and my jealousy shall depart from thee, and I will be quiet, and will be no more angry, because thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, but hast fretted me in all these things. Behold, therefore I also will recompense thy way upon thine head, saith the Lord God, and thou shalt not commit this lewdness above all thine abominations. Behold, everyone that useth proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Thou art thy mother's daughter, that loatheth her husband and her children. And thou art the sister of thy sisters, which loathed their husbands and their children. Your mother was an Hittite, and your father an Amorite. And thine elder sister is Samaria, she and her daughters that dwelt at thy left hand. And thy younger sister that dwelleth at thy right hand is Sodom and her daughters. Yet hast thou not walked after their ways, nor done after their abominations, but as if that were a very little thing, thou wast corrupted more than they all in thy ways, or more than they in all thy ways. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom, thy sister, hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. Neither hath Samaria committed half of thy sins, but thou hast multiplied thine abominations more than they, and hast justified thy sisters in all thine abominations which thou hast done. Thou also, which hast judged thy sisters, bear thine own shame for thy sins that thou hast committed, more abominable than they. They are more righteous than thou. Yea, be thou confounded also, and bear thy shame, in that thou hast justified thy sisters. When I shall bring again their captivity, the captivity of Sodom and her daughters, and the captivity of Samaria and her daughters, then will I bring again the captivity of thy captives in the midst of them, that thou mayest bear thine own shame, and mayest be confounded in all that thou hast done, in that thou art a comfort unto them. When thy sisters, Sodom and her daughters, shall return to their former estate, and Samaria and her daughters shall return to their former estate, then thou and thy daughters shall return to your former estate. For thy sister Sodom was not mentioned by thy mouth in the day of thy pride, before thy wickedness was discovered, as at the time of thy reproach of the daughters of Syria and all that are round about her, the daughters of the Philistines, which despise thee round about. Thou hast borne thy lewdness and thine abominations, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord God, I will even deal with thee as thou hast done, which hast despised the oath in breaking the covenant. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant. Then shalt thou remember thy ways and be ashamed when thou shalt receive thy sisters, thine elder and thy younger. And I will give them unto thee for daughters, but not by thy covenant. And I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, that thou mayest remember and be confounded, and never open thy mouth any more because of thy shame, when I am pacified toward thee for all that thou hast done, saith the Lord God. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Well, it's hard to keep a reading to 20 minutes when the reading of the chapter takes 15. But let's take a look at a few things here. So, in the opening section, and that's all the way really down through verse 14, 6 gives another aspect to it. There are basically two eras, and this is a prophecy, so we can't expect it to make utter sense, like, you know, we're hitting the high points here. In the beginning, the Lord said, nobody cared for you but me. I cared for you, and nobody else did. When you were born, you were like what the Romans used to do, right? If they didn't want their children, they would just kind of throw them out into the field and let them die. Oh, barbaric. Yeah, you know where I'm going with that. Our society is no less barbaric than that. Oh, barbaric, they would just throw them out and expose them. That's what happens here in verses 1 through 5. But the Lord said, I looked upon you when you were in your blood, and you were about to die, and I said, live instead. I saved your life. But then there came another era, and I know I'm leaving much on the table here. Then there came another era where the Lord says, and then it was the time of love. In other words, you had grown to a young woman. And at that time, what did I do? I spread my skirt over you. In other words, I entered into covenant with you. You became my wife. It was the time of love. And so I made you my wife. I washed you with water. I washed away your blood from you. I anointed you with oil. I clothed you with broidered work. And I want you to hear as an Israelite would have heard. Because the Lord speaks of broidered work, badger skin, gold, silver, precious stones. He's talking about the prime worship that he gave to Israel. All of those things, with one exception, the exception of honey, right? Honey was never allowed in any of the children of Israel's offerings. You know why, right? Because honey would have been mixed with bread and it would have been a yeasty thing. It would have been to feed the natural yeast that was in the flour and it would have blew up the bread. They were to offer without any yeast, not to put any honey in it, lest it would feed the natural yeast that was there. They offered these dense little cakes unto the Lord, and that was to, it was a symbol against any kind of deception that they were offering something bigger than it actually was, right? It was blown up, in other words. So they were not to offer honey. But the Lord does mention honey here. He's mixing his metaphors a bit. He's talking about worship, but he's also talking about the copious, the rich supply that he gave to Israel. But he's also talking about worship. The whole thing is about spiritual adultery, the entire chapter. Okay, so that takes us down through verse 14. Thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, and it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. What happens is that she gets her eyes off of that. She forgot that it was the Lord that made her beautiful. And so she begins to trust in her own beauty. Notice verse 15. But thou didst trust in thine own beauty, and playedst the harlot because of thy renown, and pouredst out thy fornications on everyone that passed by. His it was. Now these are spiritual fornications we're talking about. Israel became unfaithful to her God, her husband, in her worship and affection toward him, and she developed idolatry instead. And the idolatry that is spoken of here in the terms that are used, it's horrifying when we read it, isn't it? It's hard to read in mixed company. That's because of the greatness of the supply, the gifts, the graces that God had put upon them, and where they ended up, taking all of those things and making use of them not in service to the Lord, but in service to everything else in the world. All of the idols of the heathen, riches, power, nobility, all of those things that men can set before their eyes as idols, Israel set before their eyes as idols. They were as wicked as could have been. In fact, he's going to go on to say that the sins of Israel are worse than that of Samaria and Sodom. Worse. In fact, he's going to say, you have justified Samaria and Sodom. You have vindicated them in their actions by your own. I don't think it is hard to grasp the gravity of those statements. We think of the sin of Sodom as we think on, you know, verses 49 and following there. We remember Genesis chapter 19 and what goes on, what's been going on in Sodom. They've loaned their name to our English language. We remember all of that. And we think, that is a horrid sin. That is nothing compared to idolatry. That's what the Lord says in Ezekiel 16. That coming before the Lord and worshiping him in falsehood is more odious to him than what Sodom was doing. You think the Lord doesn't care about worship? Think again. Purity of worship, the Lord has presented that to us as very much important to him. Extremely so. Such that some of the things that to us naturally are so odious we don't even want to talk about them, the Lord says, idolatry is worse than that to me. worse. We must get ourselves the mind of Christ in this and recognize what false worship truly is. It is a spiritual fornication that is worse than sodomy in the eyes of God. So notice all of the gifts that God had given them. And so he speaks of the tapestries. He speaks of the badger skins. He speaks of the gold and the silver. And he said, I gave you all these things. And what were the tapestries for? They were the hangings of my court, the beautiful broidered work. What was that for? Those were the hangings in my court. What were the badger skins for? That was to protect the tabernacle. It was to go over the top of it. What was the gold for? Well, that's what went on the side of the Ark of the Covenant. The whole lid was made of gold, and then the box was covered with gold. That's what the gold was for. What were the jewels for? That was for those belonged on the breastplate of the high priest. And what have you done with them? God says. You've given them all to them. And if that were a small thing, you also took my heritage, my children. And what did you do with them? Same thing. You gave them to the idols. Oh, my dear brothers and sisters, remember this. Our children belong to God, like we said last week, and they are owed a Christian education. They are owed coming to church. All the rights and privileges of the church belong to them. And they must not be treated as common. Didn't we learn that from Leviticus 19:29? They should not be treated like common children because they are not common children. They're like the gold and the silver and the precious stones and the tapestry and the hangings that the Lord dedicated to his worship, to himself. And he puts them in the same category here, right? We must remember these things. We must remember that our children are not ours, they are his. So then he goes on, he speaks in very straightforward terms, the Lord does, speaking about all of the places that they built for their idolatry, their high places, their eminent place. The word eminent there, it could be translated as a brothel, right? The places where they committed fornication, in other words. So then the Lord says, I've even chastised you, beginning in verse 27. I even chastised you. I diminished your ordinary food. I delivered you into the hand of them that hate you, daughters of the Philistines. And what did you do with the Egyptians, with the Canaanites, with the Assyrians? What did you do? You took on all of their false worship. You took on all of their idolatry. You took that to yourself. And then not only that, they didn't even have to pay you for it. You paid them instead. You gave up everything to them so that you could commit these things. How weak is thine heart, saith the Lord God, verse 30, seeing thou doest all these things, the work of an imperious, whorish woman. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, pray for strength of heart for ourselves and others in the church, that we should not have such a weak heart as this to follow after other gods, to follow after these idolatries. So then verse 35 begins the judgment. Wherefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. So the Lord's going to gather up all those with whom thou hast taken pleasure, and they will discover thy nakedness. They'll turn on you. You've gone to them for help and comfort. You've gone to them and to their gods. I'll gather them up and they will be your enemies. And I will judge you by them as women that break wedlock and shed blood are judged. And I will give thee blood in fury and in jealousy. And so the Lord goes on to speak about those judgments for quite a little while, all the way down to verse 43. I will make my fury toward thee to rest, and my jealousy shall depart from thee. I will be quiet, and I will be no more angry. And so I hope you hear in this passage not just the Lord's stout accusation of the idolatry of his people, but his unfailing love and forgiveness even for them. May I say that the Lord is much more forgiving than human beings are. So then in verse 44, the Lord will reiterate, and he'll go back through the sin of Sodom and the sin of Samaria. We know Sodom and Samaria. We know the sins that they committed. Samaria perverted the worship of God. Sodom perverted everything else. And what does the Lord say? That your sins are worse than Samaria and Sodom. Actually, you have vindicated or justified them, because everything that was done in you should have made you to be a holy people, a separated people, but instead you behaved yourselves even worse than those cities. And so if you want a grade on the scale, they're higher than you are. Wow. But then in verse 60, and again, we're leaving a lot unsaid in verse 60, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant. Whenever you hear that word, everlasting covenant, we must remember that this is an essence statement concerning the covenant of grace. And we're looking forward now from Ezekiel's days to the days of Messiah. And that's why he can say that Samaria will come to you, and Sodom will come to you. In other words, the worst of the heathen will come to you in that day when I make an everlasting covenant with you. That is, in the days of Messiah, that thou shalt remember thy ways and be ashamed when thou shalt receive thy sisters, thine elder and thy younger, and I will give them unto thee for daughters. But not by thy covenant, not by this covenant that you've broken, in other words, but I will make that new covenant, as the other prophets say it. I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, that thou mayest remember and be confounded and never open thy mouth any more because of thy shame, when I am pacified toward thee for all that thou hast done. Oh, as deep as we have seen the sin go, as far rooted as it has been in this chapter, we see that the Lord will root it out. He will forgive. He will draw that remnant of his people to himself, those whom he has chosen from the foundation of the world, and he will forgive them in Christ. The chapter is worth weeks and weeks of preaching because of all the wonder of God's mercy and grace that we see in it. Thus ends the reading then of Ezekiel chapter 16.